I want us to remember once more the first seven verses from Luke chapter 2 that we read just a moment ago. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The historical origins of this Roman registration that is talked about at the beginning of Luke chapter 2 are a little bit hard to pin down. Now, I'm going to shock you all tonight, and you'll never have guessed what I'm about to say, but Rome, like just about every other government, collected taxes from its citizens. Now, I know you're blown away. Of course, the Roman Empire was enormous, and the task at hand for them would be to count all the heads in the various provinces spread across the ancient world in order to know how much to collect from every region. Without the benefit of the Internal Revenue Service or modern communication, such a registration or census would have taken a very long time. So when we pick the story up here at the beginning of Luke chapter 2, when it says all the world was to be registered, it didn't necessarily imply that this all took place at one time in history. It was probably a very drawn-out process, and when we do meet up with the gospel story here, the process is just now hitting ancient Palestine. Joseph lives in Nazareth. The town of Nazareth is taken from the word netzer, which literally means a shoot. This is based upon Isaiah chapter 11, when it said, "A shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse." This was a prophecy that the Messiah would come from the line of Jesse, who was the father of David, in other words, from the line of David. The town of Nazareth had been settled several generations before Joseph lived there, by descendants of the family of David. And even though it was a very small village, just a few hundred people, all the more likely, there was an expectation that perhaps, just perhaps, the Messiah, when he appeared, would actually come from among the clan of David there in Nazareth. So apparently this census required that everybody head back to their place of roots. And Joseph, of course, being a descendant of David, meant that he and all the distant cousins in the line of David all over across the map had to go back to the original hometown of David, which was Bethlehem, in order to be counted. And of course, we know the story. He takes Mary, whom he is engaged to, who is also at this time with child by the Holy Spirit. And as the story unfolds that we read about once again a moment ago, the time came for her to give birth when they were in Bethlehem. And of course, the story says there was no room for them in the inn. I need you to understand tonight, inns back then were not of the holiday variety. You hear what I'm saying? Inns back then were something like seedy rooming houses. If you want to capture what it's like, if you had a kid or a grandchild who decided to backpack across Europe when they graduated from high school, inns back in Jesus' day were the kind of places you'd be afraid they were staying in, okay? They were seedy rooming houses. Of course, we had the images of the famous inn at Bethlehem in this story, and we have this idea it was just absolutely overcrowded. It might have been because all the people who were in the line of David, the Davidic clan, and all the cousins were gathering there. It's possible that it was crowded. But the other image we have today, it's reinforced by many, many little Christmas plays in churches, is the mean innkeeper, okay, who was very rude and not very easy to deal with. And of course, Mary and Joseph don't get good treatment, and he points them to the stable. Well, the truth may be a little bit different from either of those, because you need to understand that according to the Jewish law, childbirth was one of the things that rendered a person ritually unclean for a period of time. And not only that, the place where the birth happened was also rendered ritually unclean. So even if you had access to kosher Lysol, which you probably didn't, the birthplace would have been considered unclean for a period of time, and therefore the room in the inn could not have been rented out. And this possibly, for business reasons, was actually why Mary and Joseph were escorted to the stable, which according to tradition may have been one of the many caves that was located in the area of Bethlehem. And so, of course, Jesus is born, as the story says, and Mary lays him in a manger. A manger is actually a rock trough for the feeding of the animals. It's not a wooden contraption, or it's not the stable or barn itself. It's a stone feeding trough for the animals, and that is where the infant child Jesus is laid. And so this is the background of the story. But tonight, I'd like you to consider that in the Bible, what we have oftentimes presented to us are a description of earthly events, but then there is the activity of God that is taking place in the middle of the earthly events. And without the eyes of faith, the people who are simply on the scene as these things unfold only are able to witness the everyday occurrences that they see. And in the process of this, they may miss the point of it all, that is God's message, in the middle of what's going on. So what was this registration that was happening? What was that about? And why was the registration so important? Well, certainly as we read the story tonight, the idea of the registration underscores that Jesus is coming in the line of David. That is the family from whom the Messiah was expected to be born. But there's something else going on that I want you to consider tonight. In this registration, in this census, everyone is being accounted for. The scripture says all the world was to be registered. All the world was to be enrolled. The goal of that registration was for no one to be excluded, no one to be left out. And tonight I'd like you to consider that that is one of the great messages behind the coming of the Savior in Bethlehem and what we celebrate tonight. Jesus has come to this earth so that none of you will be left behind. Jesus has come so that there will not be a single sheep that is lost, but all will be claimed, all will be redeemed by the love of God in the Good Shepherd. The one who numbers the very hairs on your head is also the one who accounts for your life. And he is the one who guarantees that none of you will be excluded from his promises. When the angels announced the good news to the shepherd in the fields, didn't they say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy for all the people." Not some of the people, all of the people. And I want you to remember tonight that the word "all" means just that. It means you. This day, this night, wherever you happen to find yourself in life, all. When I was a preschooler, my family lived in the eastern part of Houston for a few years. And when I was about 4 years old, I took the rather courageous step of deciding it was appropriate for me to run away from home. That may not be the best description, because I probably more accurately decided to go exploring and see what world lay beyond the block or so on either side of our house. So I just went out adventuring. I walked a block or two and made a turn, walked another block or two, made a turn, and after two or three turns, as the crow flies, I probably wasn't more than a few blocks from home, but I was good and lost. I had no idea where I was, and I had no idea how to get home. One of the earliest memories of my childhood is that experience of sitting down on the curb and crying because I had lost my way. I remember after a few minutes, I looked, and in front of me there was a pair of tennis shoes. And above the tennis shoes, there was a pair of socks. And above the socks, there was a pair of blue jeans. And above the blue jeans, there was a striped T-shirt. And on top of the striped T-shirt, there was the face of a little boy who was probably 10 or 11 years old. I didn't know him, and I had no idea who he was. But he asked me what the problem was, and I told him what was wrong. He asked me where I lived, and I was able to tell him my address. He said, come with me. He took me by my hand, and he led me back home. All of you have a home. That home is in the loving arms of God. But as each one of us wanders through this life, we all remain lost without someone whose mission it is to lead us back to that place. That one is Jesus Christ, whose coming we celebrate on this night long ago in Bethlehem. And he lives today to bring you home to God. Lord, we are all in the promise. Even tonight, if we find ourselves far from your love, you have come to take us home. And we give you thanks for that great blessing, even as we offer this prayer in the name of your Son. Amen.